As they were passing by in the morning, this is the following day, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots up. Being reminded, Peter said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered." And Jesus answered, saying to them, "Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you." So God did eventually break through and speak something to me this week. And I was thinking about the word mountain, not in a physical sense of this massive amount of rock and soil and this huge, wide, and high thing, but a mountain in the sense of a challenge or a difficulty that you and I might encounter and have difficulty dealing with or overcoming. Now, we know what the Scripture says. We know the truth of His Word. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me." We know that to be true, and yet at times we struggle, don't we? I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. The Amplified reads this way: "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. That is, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency." I love that. Yet at times, the fear of failure seems to cry louder than the voice of faith. If you're honest with yourself, we all feel that rising up at times in our walk with Christ. And when that happens, we need to remember to focus on His Word and His promises. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for your good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's a twofold thing that applies to every believer: loving Him and walking in your God-ordained calling. He will make all things work together for good. Sometimes we have a hard time figuring out where the good is, but it's there because God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So, all things, all challenges, including challenges, difficulties, and seeming impossibilities work together for good in your life. And I've entitled this morning's message, "Conquering Your Mountain." Conquering your mountain. To conquer means to gain or win by overcoming obstacles or opposition, to overcome by moral or mental power, to surmount or be victorious. And we could assemble quite a few scriptures that talk about our victory in Christ. So there are a few things I see in these few short verses that speak to this conquering your mountain. Number one, let God's perspective prevail. From verse 13, where it says there, and seeing at a distance. Now, you know, we know that Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. And so there's a progression of revelation here in this little scene about the fig tree. We need to first seek clarity so that we can see what the Father is doing. And Jesus had to do this here. John 5:19-20. This is one of my favorite verses. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him and you greater works than these, so you will marvel. And so I believe Jesus was waiting to see what Father wanted to reveal here. And he, at first it says, seeing at a distance. And then there's a progression. So then he gets closer. It says he went to see. He went to find out. Get a closer look physically and spiritually, I believe. And it says he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Now, Jesus knew this. If you grew up, you knew it wasn't the time for figs. And so, if you look at this little scene where Jesus subsequently curses the fig tree, you'd say, my, that's awful severe. That's kind of harsh, Jesus, isn't it? Because it's not the season for figs, so why are you getting all worked up over this? And it's because there's a deeper purpose, and he leads us, the Father leads him, and then Jesus leads his disciples, and ultimately the readers of Mark's gospel here, into the teaching on prayer, which is really the crux of what the fig tree is all about. Because it was not the season for figs. That word for season is kairos, which is God's time or God's season. So even though it wasn't the season for figs, it was the season for God to show something, to reveal something here in his kairos time. He's using this as an opportunity, this circumstance, to teach something deeper about his timing and his purpose and the role of prevailing prayer. Luke 1:20. My words shall be fulfilled in their proper kairos. Same word. My words shall be fulfilled in their proper time. Galatians 6:9-10. It says there, in due time, same word, when God's ready, in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's again the same word for kairos, the opportunity or the time there. So we need to seek and not be satisfied with anything less than God's perspective and purpose in our circumstances and our challenges. You're not going to benefit or understand it any other way until you get God's take on it. You'll just become unhappy, mumble, grumble, fill in the blank. I guarantee you're not always going to have a godly response when you're faced with a challenge. I know I don't. And so we need his perspective. It's essential if we're not going to lose all our marbles, so to speak. Secondly, from verse 14, to conquer your mountain, speak and pray with authority. He said, Jesus, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And then you don't miss this, it says, and his disciples were listening. Key aspect. Because he was saying this for their benefit and ultimately for you and I. Demonstrating speaking with authority. So as I said, the response might seem harsh or severe since it wasn't the season for figs. It wasn't reasonable to expect that when he got to the tree, all of a sudden it was going to be filled with figs. It's not going to happen because it's not the season for figs. So you have to understand what season, what time, what is it that God's doing, or you're going to be frustrated. And you're going to also have to repeat that circumstance or that challenge again because you won't have learned. And God won't work the character of Christ in you through those challenges, so you won't have learned what he desires for you to learn or grow as he desires for you to grow. So you'll repeat that unless you get his understanding. Now, I pay attention to a lot of things. And if right now, if I want strawberries from Florida, I'm not going to get them. And you know why? Because the strawberry crop in Florida is done, and the California crop is coming in. So you see, it's not the season for Florida strawberries. And I have to recognize that. Oh, I just so want those. Well, you may want them, but they're not available. And so we speak and we pray with authority based on what God reveals to us in God's timing or in God's season. And so in Mark 11, verses 15 to 17, Jesus is again speaking with authority. This is the casting out of the money changers and the merchants from the temple. And he quotes from Isaiah there, Isaiah 56, 7. Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a robber's den, making money or profit, if you will, off of God's people. So the money changers, the people who are coming from different places to worship in Jerusalem, and they weren't coming with the currency of Jerusalem. They were coming with their currency. And the money changers were making a profit off of the Jews that lived elsewhere. And not only that, they were selling animals to make a living or a profit in the temple court. And so you can imagine the scene where Jesus gets the scourge of cords and he literally drives them out. And he's speaking with the authority of his Father here when he's quoting Isaiah 56:7. My house shall be called a house of prayer, and so forth. Two other instances of Jesus speaking, Luke 4:32. And they were amazed at his teaching, for his message or his words were with authority. And they recognized something different. This man is a carpenter, and yet we're hearing words roll off his tongue that are resonating within us. That's because he's speaking with the Father's authority. Titus 2:15. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Paul talking to one of his disciples that he raised up here. So we need to speak, act, teach, and pray with the authority of Jesus. And he teaches, we're not going to go into all of that later on in Mark 11 here, about prayer and authority. So conquering your mountain is possible, and you need God's perspective, and you need to be bold and step out and speak with his authority and pray with his authority. Number three, stay alert and pay attention. That's a special word for all of you that look so sleepy today because of this cloudy and rainy day, because I'm not done yet. Stay alert and pay attention. From verse 20 and 21. This is the next day after Jesus has cursed the fig tree. And they're passing by, and the fig tree is withered from the roots up. Now, you wouldn't understand the significance unless you're trained in horticulture. A tree doesn't die from the roots up. It dies from the top down. When the food supply or the water gets cut off, the first thing to go is the top, not the roots. The roots is the last thing. And so, isn't it amazing that bumbling Peter is the one who recognizes this? Sometimes we make fun of him because he makes such crazy mistakes, like you and I might add. He's the one who notices this, that it's withered from the roots up. And this plays into or relates to Jesus' teaching on prayer in the next four verses. And the other account of this is in Matthew 21:19. After Jesus cursed the fig tree, it says, at once the fig tree withered. Right on the spot, that tree withered. Are you seeing this? Because of his authority, what he said and what he believed would happen, happened. It demonstrates and speaks of his authority. Matthew 13:6. Jesus teaching on the parable of the sower and the seed. Verse 6, but when the sun had risen, they, the seed, were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Same word as Mark 11. And it says there, Jesus explaining the parable to his disciples, they received the word with joy, yet they had no root and they withered away, it says. He has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, are you seeing this? Because of the word, persecution arises. Immediately, he falls away. The other instance that this word withered is used is in Jesus' teaching in John 15 on abiding in the vine. Again, one of my favorite passages. So rich, it speaks of so much. Jesus, in verse 6 and 7, John 15, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch, and there it is, dries up or withers. Because no longer is it connected to the source of life. And so the disciples, particularly Peter, took note and paid attention. Mark 11, 21, the fig tree which you cursed is withered. And so it's important to stay alert, stay close, stay connected to Jesus, because he is and will always be your source of life. Number 4, in conquering your mountain, speak and act in faith, verses 22 to 24. They're asking Jesus, they're questioning him, how can this happen? You cursed this fig tree and immediately it withered. That's Matthew's rendering. It's not quite as forceful in Mark's gospel, but basically that's what happened. And Jesus responds, you can speak like this too. Have faith in God. You can do what you see me doing, you can do also. And greater things will you do. Have faith in God. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. The Passion rendering, Passion translation, Hebrews 11:6. And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. Powerful way of translating Hebrews 11:6. Back to Mark 11, our text, verse 23. Whoever says and does not doubt but believes, it shall be granted him. The faith which Christ gives to you, there is no room for doubt. It is what we do with what he gives to us. That's where the problem arises. The faith he gives you leaves no room for doubt or unbelief. You must say what you believe and believe what you say. Another passage which speaks to this, Matthew 17:20, the teaching on mustard seed faith. Nothing shall be impossible to you, it says there. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, or your challenge, or your difficulty, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Likewise, Matthew 21, 21 and 22, my commentary on this is that faith-based prayer gets results and moves mountains. It'll enable you to conquer your mountain when you speak and act in faith. Because when we step out in faith, true faith, God will back us up. He will back us up. He will come through because He is on our side. And as you know, I often get a song. I was at this point in my preparation, a song began ringing in my spirit. That's the way I like to say it. And it's by Darlene, I don't know how you say her last name, Zetch. God is fighting for us. Love that song. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome. Yes, He has overcome. And we will not be shaken. We will not be moved. I will live. I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out. Shout it out. Powerful song. And number five, last but not least, remove all hindrances. If you're going to conquer your mountain, you, not God, you have to remove whatever it is that stands in your way, because it's your mountain. God has allowed it, and He wants you to deal with it. Yes, He'll give you the grace. Yes, all these things, but it's your mountain, not His. Remove all hindrances, verses 25 and 26. And Jesus zeroes in on a very big one. And that's unforgiveness. In these two verses, answered prayer in this teaching is related to being willing to forgive. And this is not just for His disciples, which He's teaching them here when He spoke these words, but it's for all of us as well. Because unforgiveness not only hinders your prayer life, it hinders your relationship with Jesus. And in reality, it's a self-imposed prison that we put ourselves in by not forgiving that other person. And so we're the loser, not the other person. It's us that's really taken the major hit when we choose not to forgive. God will help you to forgive. Are you hearing this? Even sometimes as sincere as we are, it seems like the hurt is just too much, and we can't forgive, or we think we can't. But with God's help, yes, we can. But we have to ask for His help humbly, and He will come through. God won't do for you what you are responsible to do. Are you here in this church? God will not do for you what you are responsible to do. Whether it's forgiveness or whatever else it might be. That's just the example that Jesus is teaching us here and his disciples here. 1 Corinthians 9:12, but we endure all things that we may cause no hindrance to the gospel. Of Christ. 1 Peter 3:7. This is talking specifically about a husband treating his spouse with love. But the principle here is for all people in all relationships, that your prayers not be hindered. So we need to keep a short list and let the love of Christ prevail in all our relationships. You know, it's so easy to choose not to love. Do you ever recognize that in yourself? I do. We can make that choice not to love. And it's not a good choice. So love needs to prevail in all our relationships. Conquering your mountain is completed between a partnership with you and the Lord, and it's an unbeatable combination. Romans 8:37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. So whatever it is you're facing, and I know some of what some of you are facing, but not all of what you're facing. Go now and conquer your mountain. These are just some helpful hints. There certainly are more things that enable us to be mountain climbers. Not just go on any trail, but to climb a mountain. And I still had a song ringing in my head, Rachel and Kathy. I don't like them sometimes. They were singing from The Sound of Music this week. Climb every mountain. You know that song? Once it gets in your head, it's too late. So I have them to thank for that. The message I wanted to preach today, which I felt the Holy Spirit gave me, but I'm not ready yet, is called The Other Side of the Mountain. And it's going to be good. I got to let God do the work first if it's going to come out like he wants it to, but that's the title, The Other Side of the Mountain. And you know, you would think that means, you've conquered the mountain, everything's... No, now the real work begins on the other side of the mountain. God bless you.